How about what happened on Sunday this week?
I'm so in disbelief. I wouldn't even know how to try to begin to explain it. All right, we are talking about week 9.
I hope Aaron does that again next time. And,
yeah, we'll see.
This week we're talking about week 9, the wonder of it all, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 13.
We are going to actually fly through Ephesians chapter 3 really, really quick. One of the things that Paul does in Ephesians 3 at the very beginning is I feel like it's this podcast or like my gospel community, because sometimes we get like 3 words out and then all of a sudden we're off on a tangent. And that's what Paul does today. He starts off in verse 1, and then in the English text, there's like a little dash at the end of that first verse, and Paul just goes on this digression for 12 verses, and then he brings it back before you get to verse 14 and moves on. And so we're going to follow his digression a bit. And his digression starts to speak about him being in jail and what his suffering looks like. And ultimately, he brings it back around at the end to be about how his suffering is really for God's glory and for theirs, to focus them back upon the gospel. And so I called the message The Wonder of It All. I originally had the first point and I called it The Wonder of a Hard Knock Life, because for some reason, in the back of my head, I just think of this musical, even though I've never seen many musicals and I hate musicals, but it just sits there. So if somebody's ever seen Annie, they'd be like, hey, that's great. A Hard Knock Life. So it's just really The Wonder of a Hard Life. God allows hardship in our lives to move and change us to focus back upon Him. And that hardship doesn't mean that God isn't good. That hardship speaks about God's grace in the places where we are. And you look at Paul. Paul doesn't doubt God's goodness. He doesn't get bitter with God. Paul knows where he is because he's in the hand of God. Nero is the emperor at the time. He is in jail under Nero. And Paul still says, this is still because of Christ. I am not imprisoned by Nero. I am where I am because of Jesus. And so Paul is trying to help these people in Ephesus to understand that he knows that life is hard, and we can trust God in the midst of it. And then Paul then moves in his digression directly to the wonder of grace. And in that, Paul goes back to that word mystery, that God is bringing about this understanding of something that has been so hard for us to understand, which is really the gospel, that the gospel needs to be revealed because we wouldn't discover it. The gospel is that Christ has come for us. Like the Ten Commandments, that's not a mystery. The Golden Rule, that's not a mystery. That sounds like common sense. The mystery is that Christ came for us while we were far away to bring us to Himself. And then the second part of that he goes into in the second part of his digression really then moves back to what we talked about last week with the family of God and the church, and how the wonder of God's people, the church, is also a mystery, that God is bringing all of these people together to worship Him. He has made us a family. And the clearest way that the world is going to see what grace and the gospel does is by how His people begin to live in that as a redeemed people. And it's simply amazing. You know, Paul is, you got to understand that when Paul talks about these things in his digression, he's not unrealistic. Paul knows the churches are a mess, that they've got people in them who are really jacked up. You know, I mean, he talks about the church in Corinth where you got them getting drunk at communion and the guy sleeping with his mother-in-law. It's like, yeah, people are messed up. But guess what? The church is still a wonder of grace, a mystery that God is bringing us together into His family. And then in that last thing that Paul brings it back to then is the wonder in the freedom of knowing that everything in our lives really rests in the hands of God. And it goes back to the suffering, that no suffering we have ever gone through in our life is for nothing, that no suffering can really hurt us in the end because nothing can pull us away from Christ, and all suffering will ultimately be for God's glory and our good.
You seem very passionate about this one.
Well, I'm trying, because it's hard to put all these pieces together in a way that I don't sound like a digression the entire time. And I feel like it's going to do that a bit, where it's going to be like, well, he just went to 3 points that didn't connect that well to each other, because that's what Paul does. And he's everything else in the book of Ephesians is really written almost systematically. It goes together really well, except for this section. It is not written like everything else, and it feels like it is, like a little digression where Paul's like, and you know, I'm suffering. guys, I gotta tell you. Okay, so the suffering's for God's glory, your glory, our good, and then he goes right back into it. But it's just like, oh, you're killing me, Paul.
He was busy responding to emails while I was also writing.
Yeah, it was probably that.
Suffering, God uses it profoundly, and yet we so disdain it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, moving from
going back to 2 weeks ago, nice callback.
But the idea that, you know, in last week with family, and Paul brings it back again this week, that Israel was a people chosen by God to display him to the rest of the earth. And now he's doing that again, calling the Gentiles and Israel together to be again a manifest expression of who he is in the earth, mm-hmm. as a family. And so often that's done by our suffering, that we reveal who God is. You know, I'm found myself in a place I don't want to be, but that's God's doing, so that I would be in that place so I can reveal him.
Joan Erickson Tada, where she talks about that she can see what she has gone through in her life, even though she was angry with God about it. She, you know, she's quadriplegic, and she says that how I go through this can display to the world the grace of God. But she also talks about this girl named Denise, that when she first became paralyzed, she was in this room with her, and Denise had this rapid onset muscular dystrophy, where over the course of a couple weeks, the girl went from paralyzed, waist down, neck down, to where she became blind and couldn't respond to anything. And the only people who would come into a room and talk to her ended up being her mom at the end, who would pray with her and read the Bible to her. And after Denise died, this is one of the things that Joan Erickson writes about, is she says she was like, I can understand how my life, because I can still communicate, I can still do things, I can see how that brings about glory to God and he can use me. But how did Denise's suffering ever do that? Because she couldn't even communicate. And she said that one of her friends points her to Ephesians 3:10, where Paul says, angels and demons look into this, the heavenly hosts look into this. And she said, even if her life wasn't on display to us, it was on display there, and it was bringing wonder. And how? And so she wrote a letter to Denise's mom that said, your daughter's life, even if we didn't see it, displayed the beauty of grace and the gospel to the heavenly realms.
Trophies of grace. Yeah. I think a couple weeks ago, I talked about that with our group, just the idea that we display the manifest work of God's grace in our lives, and we become his trophies that he shows off to others, you know, and Paul talks about that in chapter 3, where the rulers and authorities will see and mm-hmm. understand better because of the church and the church's suffering, you know. But that mom went in, and what the staff saw, she went in and did these things for her daughter, right?
I'd rather be a trophy of winning the lottery. I guess I got to play for that to happen. But wouldn't it be even a greater miracle if I didn't buy a ticket and won anyway?
There we go. Stumbled across the winning ticket.
Yeah. Suffering sucks, right?
We'll see you next week.
And on that hot take.
But there is such grace in it. I think it might have been this morning, I do my quiet time and I'm sitting there and I'm praying, and I just thought, there are places when I am suffering or something's happening where my prayers are much more fervent, where I am seeking God much more readily than when things aren't hard or difficult. Suffering drives us into the hands of God like nothing else.
Suffering says I'm not autonomous, and that I can't do it all on my own.
Yeah.
Right? It drives us back to a place of dependence, and it just reminds me that I can't do this on my own.
Yeah, and that's why I think that, you know, suffering is a wonder. Because we would think, well, if I was God, I would just, and nobody would suffer. Nothing would be hard. And yet the wonder of suffering is that God allows it. And there are places where God even brings it.
And meets us in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't ignore us in the midst of it. It is in those places that he's like, I am walking with you because you can't even walk right now.
Right. So there's a profound humility that comes in suffering.
Yeah.
Right? Again, because I am dependent and not able to do this on my own. I need you. I need others. I need someone to make me a meal. I need someone to drive me somewhere.
And the places where it's like, I don't even want to accept that meal. I can do it myself. And sometimes in suffering, it's hard because you were accepting grace from other people.
Yep.
It's so much easier, I think, many times to be like, I'll take care of you. You don't take care of me.
So with a message like this, I mean, all that's it's beautiful what God does, because he's the suffering Christ, right? He went through suffering. Like, we can't imagine to bring salvation. But what would your hope in this message, where our people grow out of this? Because sometimes there's people in suffering who maybe need to hear this, but people aren't suffering at the moment. How can they, what's your hope for them, that they engage suffering better next time, or what?
No, I think that I would like people to enter into each other's hardships. We're all at different kind of spots in our lives. And if we're not in a place where we are suffering, that means we can step into somebody else's and walk with them through that. We can help one another to trust in Jesus in the midst of the suffering that somebody else is in. One of the things the Galatians were saying about Paul is that you're in jail and God wouldn't let someone who really loves him be in this position. So therefore, you must not really be a spokesman for God. That's what people were saying against him. And Paul is saying, no, God has me where I am for a reason, that this suffering has purpose. And that's what he's also saying to the Ephesians. This isn't for nothing. So please don't ever think that me being in this state, I'm in this state for you. I'm in this state because I have been speaking and sharing the gospel. And I think we could use this to look how we can step into each other's lives as well and point each other to trust in Jesus in the midst of our hardships.
I think it's true. You're going to encounter people at different phases of life, obviously, and some actively suffering and some maybe on the tail end of one that are viewing it in retrospect. But I think in either place, there's a lot of wisdom and encouragement here. And I think for the people in the midst of suffering, can they actively grieve or walk through that while crying out to God and realizing he's there in the midst of it and that he is at work? And for the people maybe on the other side of suffering, again, do they have the compassion to enter into others' suffering? But also, can, you know, sometimes we walk out of a season of suffering and again, you just lose maybe that sense of dependence that was so on the forefront of your mind, which is such a beautiful part of suffering. And can we maintain that posture even when things around us are still going well?
Crying out to God for each other, maybe when someone feels like they can't, so you can cry out for them.
Right, but the truth is we're all in need. Like, yeah. Right? Even like in the mountaintop experiences, we're in as just as much need. And I think if we're honest with ourselves about those periods in our life where we have those aches and those wounds. That's core mindfulness, right? Just being honest about those feelings and taking those to God. It's just a richer experience with him.
Well, I think it's how we walk with one another too, of the same comfort that I receive that I give, mm-hmm. right? And I don't know if we're ever devoid of suffering in some form in our lives.
Right, right.
I mean, there are
the world's broken.
There are some bigger things, and so we all focus on the big stuff, but. What about the guy that life typically seems pretty normal, but there's still mm-hmm. suffering going on in places of being discomforted that he needs comfort?
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, this week, be on the lookout for who God has in your path. And if you're in your suffering, share with others and being willing to be a little bit more vulnerable, because I think that's the other side of that.
And be excited about the wonder of grace of our salvation that God has brought us to himself. Even in the midst of where we are. I mean, just walk around and be like, wow, look what God did. It's pretty cool.
All right. Happy birthday, Hillary.
I'm lost. That's okay.
He's because that Sunday hasn't happened yet.
Yes. I gathered. It had something to do with something I haven't. Privy to.
Well, none of us
have been privy to.
Yeah, that's the joke.
I'm pre-cogging over here.